Hello and happy holidays, everyone. Welcome to the Celeste Stein Show. I'm your host, Dr. Celeste Stein, and I invite you to like, share, and subscribe to my channels on bbsradio.com and my YouTube channel. It means so much to those of us who are working hard to bring you news you can use, self-help topics, and top entertainment news. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, on today's show, we have two very special guests who are going to give you some information on how you can stay safe for the holidays. Christmas and New Year's are certainly supposed to be fun times of the year with friends and family. But if you're not careful and vigilant, you can also become prey and victim to those who find many ways to put a damper on your holiday fun. Today, I am joined by Chief James Hambrick and Lieutenant Wes Neely. Lieutenant Neely is a police officer with the Mount Juliet Police Department, and he is an active threats expert and workplace violence consultant. And Chief Hambrick has served in the city of Mount Juliet, Tennessee, as both chaplain and police officer, and has just recently retired after 28 years of service. Certainly, thank you for your service. And before we begin today, I'd like to play a little video of the Chief's recent send-off after an amazing career.
Car one, Mount Juliet.
Car one.
I want to say thank you for over 28 years of being here. All the men and women that I've been able to serve, this great community that I've been able to serve. Hey, I love you all. There's nothing you can do about it. Car one is 10-7.
Chief Hambrick, thank you for your 28 years of service to the city of Mount Juliet and to the men and women of the Mount Juliet Police Department. During that time, you have served us and led us with honor in many positions, from dispatch all the way to the last 11 years as your chief. We have learned from you, grown with you, and we will miss you as you start your next chapter of life. We wish you and Miss Denise the best moving forward, and remember, we love you and there ain't nothing you can do about it. All units, resume normal air.
Thank you. Thank y'all.
What an amazing journey, Chief Hambrick. That was awesome. And I would also like to congratulate you on your new appointment as Chief Security Officer at Tribeca Nazarene University, where I know you'll do just an amazing job. And thanks so much for being here today. It is an extreme honor, and happy holidays to both of you.
Thanks, so it's good to be here.
Thanks. All right, I'm going to get into the show now. We are going to talk a little bit about the holidays and holiday safety. As we approach the busiest holiday shopping period of the year, I'd like to start by asking you, Chief Hambrick, what sorts of things do people need to be thinking about as they're out shopping this holiday season?
Well, first of all, just being vigilant and mindful of the time and the season and what normally occurs during that day. We know that, during the year, throughout the year, that suspects, criminals, prey upon people, but especially during this time because they know, the season. They know people will be shopping. They know that there'll be things readily, I'll just use that word, accessible for them. And so for individuals to be mindful. I would encourage, especially our female population, to shop together, never alone. That would be one thing. Always put things in the trunk out of sight of, of criminals where they can see, because people do target vehicles. They look in the vehicles. So that's one thing. One thing we've been seeing also is as people are shopping, and again, this is especially for the female population, they'll have their purse in the cart and they'll turn around, and these people are quick, and they'll take that the wallet out of the purse and be gone. And I mean, it seems like it's impossible to do as fast as they do it. And I mean, they're charging.
You're right. You're
I mean,
right.
in a little bit of time, it's thousands of dollars charged to a card,
Right.
and the person is still inside the store shopping and has no
Yeah.
clue.
I had that happen many, many years ago when I was in graduate school up in Chicago. I just getting out on my own there and was in the grocery store, had my pocketbook in the cart. I turned around to pick up like a head of lettuce, put it in the cart, and that fast my pocketbook was gone. I mean, I could see the person going out the door with my purse. That's how fast that happened. So very true that you'd be surprised. So just even where you place your pocketbook, you need to be vigilant at all times, like even in the grocery store, unfortunately.
In the military, we have something called the buddy system that you can go in, and I would encourage individuals to use a buddy system when they're going shopping this year.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of these street gangs now that are certainly going into stores and malls and raiding the places of tons of merchandise with trash bags and all that kind of thing. Would you guys like to talk a little bit about are you seeing more of this type of crime, especially there in your area, and just kind of what's going on there across the country?
Let LT.
It always increases during the holiday season because these people know that you're shopping, you're putting your packages in your car, because of the crowds, and like you and the chief just talked about, you're not paying attention. You're shopping, you're thinking about what you're going to buy for whomever you're going to buy it for, and they'll just they run in packs. Sometimes they will even come up and distract somebody. They'll come up and talk to you to ask some random question to distract your attention away from your buggy or wherever your purse might be, and then pick it up and walk out. They do that a lot. A lot of times, I always encourage people to lock their front doors, even when they're home. I lock all their doors when they're home, but if they're in the backyard working, make sure the front door's locked, because if these guys will drive down the road, they'll see somebody working in the backyard. So they'll send somebody around to, again, distract and ask some kind of odd question. And if the front door's unlocked, they'll come in and steal what they can and get out pretty quick. So it's in the holiday seasons is when this stuff happens a lot, because they know people are preoccupied and not paying attention.
Yeah. What about packages? Would either of you like to talk about that? A lot of us order from, Amazon and other online stores during the holidays, and then we have those packages delivered maybe when we're working or out and about. What are some ways we can protect ourselves there when you're maybe not at home and having a package delivered?
When you order the package, there's always a place at the bottom that says special instructions. The porch pirates are hard to defend against. But if you put instructions on there about certain places to put the package out of sight, don't leave it on the front porch. Ask them to take it around to the back somewhere. Put it under a carport, inside a car. I've never had anybody refuse to do that as far as the delivery folks go, but anything to get it off the front porch where they can't ride down the road and look and see it sitting there and pull up and try to grab it and run off. The special instructions and having them put stuff out of sight helps a lot. But the bad guys know this too, so they're not always deterred. Some want to hang around a little longer than others, so they may walk around and look. So, but that's the safest thing that you could probably do.
Also, my main thing is, you know, it's been about building relationships and about relationships in every aspect of life. And man, if we just get back to some neighborly things and watching out for neighbor, you know, that will go a long way deterring some of these crimes.
Right. Going back to the street gangs, some people might not know what I'm talking about. Do you care to elaborate, maybe, Chief, a little bit on that? Like, what are they doing? And, you know, how can people kind of protect themselves? Because those things happen pretty quickly and people come in. I don't know how violent some of these people are, but you may be just out innocently shopping and that may occur. So you might happen to be in the way. So what are some things that you might advise people to do in being vigilant as they're out and about?
Again, first being aware of their surroundings. We just had this happen recently in a neighboring city that a new mall, brand new outlet mall, and these people go in and just grab as much as they can and run out. If you want to be a help, get as much information without trying to encounter, you know, let law enforcement handle that, but get as much information as car information, if you can get a tag information, direction of travel, all of those things can assist law enforcement in the apprehension of the individuals. But it's taken place. We haven't had it in our area to that degree. But a lot of the stores, especially stores that have high-end Louis Vuitton, different type things like that, Coach purses and things like that. And right. I know they're trying to make dollars and they want these. I never understand why they want these things by the front, close to the front door. But that's where they place them, right. Unfortunately. And the individuals go in, grab and go. Just assisting us in capturing as much information as they can be very helpful.
Right. And I mean, I would like to stress again, you just basically said, don't try to be a vigilante. I have seen a lot of store employees that may take the law into their own hands and try to handle these things. But what would you say to the employees that think, I've seen people try to grab stuff back and that kind of thing. What would you, you know, specifically say to them? Because that can be a very serious situation, you know, quick and in a hurry, as they say, you know, when those type of things come up, you know, what should you be already thinking if you are working at an establishment that occurs in?
Well, first, to follow whatever that store outlet is, that retail outlet is, to follow their policy. And unfortunately, I wish we could get to a balance within retail organizations, within their policies, because it runs a spectrum. Some have a policy not to even call police. I mean, not to do anything. Mm. Some and, you know, others. But at the very least, if they would do the same thing that I just mentioned for the citizens, to get as much information, don't try to apprehend, don't try to grab or stop anything like that. Get the information. They have to understand that loss and shrink is built into the operation of the retail establishment. So that's not to say that it's a free fall giveaway, but just get the information, call law enforcement, and let them do their job. Let us do our jobs. And most outlets too have now loss prevention personnel. And I know here in Mount Juliet, we work well together with our loss prevention people.
Yeah. I also wanted to quickly go back to, you know, the whole making sure you put things away out of sight in your car, because a lot of people end up with broken windows where people are trying to grab and go. Another thing I've heard is that you should, in terms of being aware of your surroundings, you should be looking to make sure the area that you're parking in is not secluded, that it's well lit. I know at this time of year, You're probably not going to be secluded. There's so many people out there. Is there anything else, even like the type of pocketbook a woman, might carry? And, as you're kind of scoping your surroundings, what should you be looking at before you even get out the car?
Well, again, like the chief said, look at your surroundings. It's not unusual to see somebody sitting in their car if you drive through a parking lot and pull up. But if you pay attention to them, you can usually tell the person that's sitting in a car, reading email, sending a text, talking on the phone, opposed to the people who are actively looking for a victim, somebody to. Oh, sorry about
Okay.
that. Wasn't expecting that. But you can tell the folks that are looking for somebody to rob if they can, by where they're sitting, what they're looking at. It's kind of just reading their body language. And if most people it can figure that out if they just pay attention instead of being in a hurry, those kind of things. You're right, the parking lots are so crowded, so they're not really a secluded place you can park for the most part during the holiday seasons. But again, like the chief said, pay attention to your surroundings. What makes most people a victim is their lack of interest. When I sit in a parking lot and I see people coming out of the grocery store doing this on their phones, they're the ones that will be victims because they're not paying any attention. They're not watching their surroundings. The ones that are vigilant, that pay attention when they're walking through the parking lot, are less likely to be victims because they're paying attention to what's going on. When it comes to women carrying purses, my recommendation is don't carry a purse. If you have some type of wallet that you can stick in your pocket or hold in your hand, always, if you've got people with you to help you navigate and pay attention to what's going on, helps. Sometimes women will put purses that have long straps around their shoulders so that way they can't just come off their arm. That's a little bit safer, but the less you have to worry about, the better off you are. That way it gives them less to try to grab.
Also, I guess you might want to mention the skimmers. You know how they I know when I've traveled overseas, it was a big problem where they could actually lift your credit card information, not even you, they don't even have to have the information out of your pocketbook. They can actually kind of brush by you and kind of get it off of there. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that works, Lieutenant Neely, in terms of are there certain types of new wallets and things like that that are available to prevent that kind of thing from happening?
Sure. All credit cards have a magnetic strip, and now they have the magnetic strip along with a chip. But the same thing in a credit card machine that reads the magnetic strip when you make a purchase, there is technology out there that criminals have learned to use that they can, if they can get close enough to you, and they can just, like you said, brush by your purse, your back pocket where your wallet might be. Then that technology can pick up that magnetic strip on your credit card and store that information. So now they have your credit card number, your security code, everything, and they can actually take they can go like get gift cards, and they can turn those with those machines into credit cards, and then they go, like I said, spend thousands before you even realize it. There are special wallets that are manufactured that prevent that device from getting the codes. There's different variations, different brands, depends on what you're comfortable with. But I always recommend that if you can get one, because that definitely helps with the people being able to use those skimmers to get your credit card information.
Oh, good advice. It's so much going on. You have to keep up with it all. And I really, as people are aging and what have you, it just seems like there's more and more things, that you have to look out for. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about holiday crime and what you can do if you think you've been a victim. We'll be back right after this. A lot of things have come to a screeching halt due to COVID-19, but you should know that the court system in Tennessee is still open and holding in-person hearings for orders of protection and other types of abuse cases. If you have a hearing date, double-check on where your hearing will be held. If you need assistance on an order of protection or temporary restraining order, contact the Legal Aid Society at 1-800-238-1443 or visit our website at www.las.org. And welcome back. You're listening to the Celeste Stein Show on bbsradio.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Right now, I am speaking with Chief James Hambrick and Lieutenant Wes Neely, and we're talking about ways you can protect yourself and keep yourself from being a victim during this holiday season. So are you guys seeing an increase or decrease in crime in your area this holiday season?
Go ahead, G.
You said go. It, by doing the numbers, I do a report and have been doing a report every Thursday to our city manager. Our shoplifting has decreased with the latest numbers that we've gathered. Even our vehicle burglars, we had a few just recently, a couple of days ago. But prior to that, our vehicle burglaries and things have been tremendously low.
Interestingly enough, I kind of looked at some research from the Pew Foundation this morning, and it is showing sort of a decrease nationwide. But I've seen homicides are up. Are you all seeing that trend in your area?
Well, in the Nashville area, but not Mount Juliet.
Yeah, thankfully, but not thankfully. But anyway, it's interesting how, you know, you wonder how COVID impacted things. You know, you have more people at home, you know, probably more domestic violence and altercations. But you know, as far as other things, people weren't out and about as much. You know, they weren't going to the stores or going to the malls. So it's probably been partly affected by some of that. One of the things that I wanted to ask Lieutenant Neely, if you become a victim, tell me what if you know, because sometimes people, I don't know if they've lost or misplaced something. I mean, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, theft of your pocketbook or what have you. If you think you've been a victim, you know, aren't there some things that people can do to proactively fight against this, you know, even working with your bank and things like that? What advice do you give to people?
If somebody steals your purse, call the police, get them in route to file a report, you know, give them what information you can. But as quickly as possible, you need to make sure you contact your credit card company or your bank to make sure you make them aware that your card has been stolen so that they can cut it off where it won't work. The sooner that's done, the better. Sometimes we don't catch it immediately. And some people put purchases on them before we have a chance to cut them off. But that's the first thing you should do. I always recommend that, you know, there's always a number on back of the card that you call to report stuff. But if you don't have your card, you don't have that number. So I always recommend you keep a notepad somewhere in your car, you know, somewhere you have quick access to it, that's got the phone numbers to the different institutions that you have credit cards through, so that you can immediately call them and let them know what's happened. If you misplace a card, again, immediately, even though somebody may not have stolen it, you still need to have it cut off. The institution will usually reissue you a new card with a new number. So if it does turn up somewhere, it won't be active where anybody can use it. But the main thing is timing. The quicker it's done, the safer you're going to be with it.
Right. How true. Now, also, Lieutenant Neely, I know you have certainly spent a lot of time as an expert on workplace violence and active shooter threats. You know, this time of year, we know that people do get a little more anxious and, you know, really even you know, higher cases or incidents of depression and that kind of thing. Wanted to ask how that stress can lead to people acting out in, you know, ways maybe they normally wouldn't, and what employers could and should be doing to prepare and even prevent a situation of violence in the workplace.
What I always recommend when I do classes for different employers, you always they if you can if it's feasible they really need to have a place that if you can't get out if an incident happens that can be deemed a safe place. So the first rule of thumb is if you're anywhere. And this can be used anywhere, whether you're at work, at church, at home, shopping. If something like this happens, then you need to get away from it and get out the nearest exit. If you find yourself in a situation where the gunman's between you and your exit, then you need to still get away from him. Find a place to hide. Find a room that you can get in, a place that won't attract attention. Usually these things are over within 10 minutes. If it's somebody that's just looking to what we refer to as mass casualties, they're not normally going to chase anybody. They're not going to go hunt people down. They're just going to try to kill the people that are there that they have access to. So if you can find a place to hunker down until it's over, would be the next best step. If employers can locate areas like that within their businesses, that what we would in law enforcement we refer to as hardened rooms. You know, I explained to them what things they can do to make a room hardened like that. You know, get in there, lock the door, turn the lights off, make sure your cell phones are silenced. That's a hard thing to remember because most of us can't remember to do that a lot of places. You know, and just try to stay out of sight until the threat leaves or it's neutralized, one of the two. You know, the employers, a lot of folks in the corporate world don't think about that because in the corporate world, it's doesn't happen that much. I really fear that it's going to become more prevalent, but it's better to be prepared. I have this saying, it's not mine, chance favors the prepared mind, which means if you're prepared, then that's going to give you a little bit more advantage to be able to handle a situation if you find yourself in it than not thinking about it at all and then being surprised by it. So I encourage the folks that I do these classes for I give them information so they can be prepared to set those things up. The downside to it is you can't control any of it because it's the only thing you control is what you do, not what the other people are doing. I preach, don't be a victim. Mm-hmm. And if you find yourself in a situation where you're faced with somebody, and it doesn't have to be a gun, it can be a knife, a car, a baseball bat, a 2x4, anything that somebody can get their hands on that they want to inflict injury on somebody, then that's the weapon. And if you find yourself in that situation and you can't get away from it, then really you only have one other option, fight back. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, don't be a victim. If you find yourself there, then fight for everything you got. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. You have every right to defend yourself against somebody that's attacking you. If you have to take their life, it doesn't matter whether they're a bad guy or not. It's going to affect you, but mm-hmm. you have to understand, you have to defend yourself. It's either them or you. And right. In a nutshell, that's what it's about.
Right. Yeah. That preparation, you know, definitely goes a long way. And, you know, it's nothing anybody ever certainly wants to think about, but it's something that you have to, you know, like you said earlier, just being vigilant and, you know, thinking about, you know, what you do and ways to remove yourself or avoid particular situation altogether. Now, you mentioned classes. A lot of employers, especially small businesses, I don't feel like are really as prepared as they need to be, and certainly churches, because this is not something we've seen over the years in our places of worship. But you know, is this something that you would recommend that every employer, whether small or large, needs to start thinking about?
Definitely. Workplace violence, it happens every day, a lot of places across the country. And it's not just an active shooter type thing. In the workplace and in churches, you can have disgruntled employees. You can have domestic situations between folks, and a spouse may come to somebody's workplace looking for them. For whatever reason, whatever's happened, and they're angry and they want to get their vengeance, and they're going to come in looking for that person. If their intent is to cause them bodily injury, then they're not normally going to come in just randomly hurting people. However, if they're trying to get from point A to point B and you are unlucky enough to be in that path, then you may get injured because of that, because you are standing between this person and wherever they're going. Domestic violence is probably the number one in the workplace. I always recommend to employers that they talk to their employees about domestic violence and things like that. And the employees need to make sure that the management knows that there's a situation. So if a spouse shows up and the employer doesn't know that there's an issue, they may very well let that person walk right through the door and go wherever they want to go. Mm-hmm. So you got to share the information. The employees got to let the employer know there's an issue, and the whatever person should not be there to see them. If they show up, don't let them in, kind of thing.
Right. What about tailgating? Can you explain what that is to people who might not know, and how all employees should be really vigilant, because you just don't know?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of businesses have locked doors that you have to have a key card access to get in. And you have to be, again, this is one of those vigilance things. You need to be aware of your surroundings, because if you swipe your card and open the door, they don't shut immediately. They usually close slowly, and it would be very easy for somebody to sneak right in behind you without a key card or anything. So if you do that, you go in a door, stop at the door, pull it closed, or stand there and make sure it closes before you walk away, to make sure nobody comes in behind you.
Right. People don't realize how dangerous that is. I've seen it at different places where, you know, because obviously in my life of work, in my former life, just going so many different places, how there may be unlocked doors. And that's pound of prevention. Just lock the door, you know, make sure when you come in that the door is actually closed and locked behind you, you know.
Exactly.
Simple, but people don't do it. Or I've seen employees prop a door open trying to be helpful. And it's like, why do you think we have this security in place here? It's, you know, really to protect people. So you mm-hmm. see that so often. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And after this break, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about cybercrime, which is something totally on the rise. Obviously something that years ago, no one even thought about, but now it's a big deal. So we're going to talk about that when we come back right after this. When it comes to relationships, there are some obvious signs you can use to spot someone who might be abusive. First, they have a tendency to want to rush into a relationship. They may also show signs of jealousy and mistrust, and you could find they expect you to be perfect and will try to cut you off from other important relationships. They could also be abusive towards animals and children. To learn more about the signs of dangerous individuals and how you can identify and avoid unhealthy relationships, contact the Legal Aid Society at 1-800-238-1443. And thanks so much for tuning in to the Celestine Show. I am here talking to two of Mount Juliet's finest who have served their communities for many years as police officers and chiefs and lieutenants and everything else. So I'm so glad to have you here today. And the next thing we want to get into is cybercrime. But I want to, before we do that, I'm going to offer our 800 number, if people would like to call in with any questions for either of you, they can call in to the show at 888-627-6008. That number again, 888-627-6008. And it may take just a minute, so we won't forget about you. But if you want to call in and stay on the line with your question, we'll be happy to take a few questions towards the end of the show. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about cybercrime. Explain, Chief Hamburg, if you will, what we're talking about these days when we talk about cybercrime to start with. Let's have a little education on that.
That's a broad brush, but in the what we're dealing with now and seeing now, one, we have to understand that cybercrime is globally. It's not unique to a certain space. Yes. It's global now. And we used to be, you would just talk about what's happening on a computer. But now with cell phones, which are computers within themselves, with so much going on with technology being advanced more and more. And, you know, as we thinking, when we think we're gaining a little bit of ground in this area, then another technology comes out that is good, but is also used by criminals in the criminal element. AI, for example, has and is changing the game as it relates to crime and these crimes that are, you know, taking place on computers and phones and with information and people's information and funds. And it's, again, it's a global thing, and it's hard to really combat because the suspect or the organization that the criminal organization may be in a total different country. But the victim is here in Mount Juliet. So it's to enforce and have law enforcement. We say protection is key. And you know, because we're seeing it with fraud, scams, different things. Some of the things that I've dealt with personally, people have called and said that they're from the IRS and they're going to take your spouse to jail and we need $10,000. And people are going and getting $10,000. And I'm grateful for here in our community, grateful for organizations and businesses that would say, hey, this is your money, but I think you need to go talk to Chief Hamburg before you do.
Yeah.
And we've saved people. I'm like, you know, have you ever tried to call the IRS? I said, I said, you know how hard that was to get in touch with them.
That's crazy. Yeah, for sure.
they're not going to call you. They're going to, hey, you'll get some mail or something like that. Yeah. I said, just think about it. Mm-hmm. They know where you work.
Right.
They need your money and want your money. They'll get it. But unfortunately, they prey on the older population. Our older population are those that are most vulnerable to these type scams of calling in. We just had recently somebody call in and said to a female that this was somebody from the Mount Juliet Police Department calling them. And we don't solicit funds like that from a phone call. And they gave in and met at a place, you know, and gave thousands of dollars away. And so we have to protect ourselves and
Right. Yeah, I mean, Can you talk a little bit about the penalties for people who do things like that, in terms of, impersonating? I mean, really, what you're talking about is impersonating a police force, impersonating, sometimes, I mean, reputable entities and agencies like the IRS, I mean, if they get caught, I mean, what type of crime is that? And what are the penalties for something like that?
Well, it varies. And LT, you can speak on that a little more than I can, as far as the penalty and what would happen through the court process if they are caught again, even though there may be somebody locally that is being used. Unfortunately, these enterprises are overseas. Most of them we're seeing are coming out of Africa. So,
So, go ahead, Lieutenant Neely. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that a crime of this type is kind of like identity theft. Is a very, very hard crime to find the suspects and charge them. The penalty can vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but it being a felony, they will get some pretty good time out of it if you can catch them. Especially with the cyber side of it, they're so good at getting in, and they're so good at hiding their tracks. It is just virtually impossible. And if it's somebody come that's doing it from another country, it's nothing anybody can really do.
Are
We
people
have those.
not extradited? I've heard of, I know a couple of years ago, Big Ring was broken up in India. I remember that, I think, you're really seeing a lot of cyber crime on the rise there. So when that happens, I know you're talking about an extradition process and that type of thing. Would that, or I'm not even aware if that has ever occurred. If anybody's ever been extradited to face charges, or would they face charges in their own country?
We have, I will say this, we would have to have cooperation and work with our federal partners, law enforcement partners, to bring that about. And just last week, at our chiefs association, we had members from the FBI, the Nashville branch and Memphis branch as well, give us some assurance that they're available for these type of things to help and assist. But as they said, it's not easy, but that doesn't mean that they won't join in and assist in those trying to apprehend and prosecute, bring those individuals to justice.
Right. I think that's really important because sometimes I think the consumer can feel defeated when it comes to dealing with a situation like this, because it seems like nothing is really being done on a global level to address such an issue. But I think it is going to end up being one of the bigger things that we are going to definitely have to deal with and address. As Neil Friedman wrote in his book, The World is Flat, it's like we're not just dealing with things occurring in our own backyard, There are people touching us and reaching us that never have been able to before because they're, able to get in through the technology. And so do you, if you have people that you're working with, especially elderly population that those and children that are more vulnerable, what types of things can they do, or their parents, especially with children? You have trafficking, you have all kinds of other issues associated with this. What should families be doing to stay vigilant, or protect themselves? Are there things that you guys can offer there? Because I think, especially, we're going to talk about this too as it relates to shopping online. That's going to be something we'll get to in just a minute, but. What would you recommend from a cybersecurity standpoint that people can do?
Let me say this one thing, how I see the most being played out, and this is by phone calls and unsolicited phone calls, and especially with this onset of AI and ChatGPT, they will capture. And I warn people about answering the phone, and they'll say when they call, "Is this so and so?" And what they're hoping to catch is you to say yes, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have your other information, and they can play that back. Some of the automated things that are needed to access funds and money accounts and things is requires you to say yes. And once that happens, I'm like, man. And so unwanted or unsolicited phone calls, if you don't know who it is, hey, I let them leave a message. If it's somebody, if it's somebody that wants me, they'll leave me a message. But I don't know the number, then I'm not answered.
And I'm terrible about it. You know, the problem I have is somebody important will be calling and I'm just like, going to voicemail, you know, like, but you know, it's like, it's one of the things that you can do, but I would also, mention, some of the software because you know, I don't know if we really touched on ransomware, slightly, but when someone is, trying to, like hijack your computer so that, you know, you have to pay a certain amount for them to release it. And I've heard that some companies have actually paid it, you know, to rather than to lose their proprietary information, you know, because it could cost so much more. But in any case, you know, you have to be so, so careful. So let's talk about cybercrime in the terms of when you're doing this holiday shopping, what are some things that people need to look out for when they're putting their information online? I've had a situation one time where I put in, you know, I was purchasing something that I thought was sort of a legitimate purchase, you know, where you're ordering a product, but then they sign you up for all this other stuff, you know, that you're like, I didn't order this, you know, where is this coming from? Or it becomes like a subscription. So I've definitely had to undo that, you know, a time in the past. It's just, you know, they get more and more sophisticated. So what are some things people can do there?
What I would recommend is, especially as far as email goes, I think I got a pretty good record at work in regard to not opening emails that I'm not sure about. But there's, if you read the fine print, and I'm talking about places like Amazon or any of the big companies, if you read the fine print, it'll talk about them. If you agree to certain things, you're giving them permission to sell your information. And when I say information, I'm not talking about your personal information. I'm just talking about your email address, stuff like that, your name, your email address, what city or state you live in. And that's where all the emails come from that you're like, why am I getting this? I don't know this company. And that's how they get in. There are what seem to be legitimate companies and they'll buy this information and they'll start sending emails out. And they'll put attachments in there. They'll put that sometimes they'll send something that says there's an invoice that is overdue or something. And you're like, what the crap is this? So you open it, look at it. Don't do that. If you get an email from some company or something that you don't know, then don't open any attachments or anything. Cause once that attachment's open, they put malware on your computer. And then now they can get in there and find, well, if you pay your bills on that computer, guess what they got? Your banking information. If you get an email, don't open any attachments unless you are certain, you know, that's some transaction or some company that you're familiar with or some person that you're familiar with. I've gotten emails before where somebody would say, hey, you know, I got these pictures for you to review. And all they're trying to do is get you to click on the attachment. And once you do that, it's done.
Right. Facebook is famous for that. I hate no offense to Facebook, but I've seen a lot on there where they have cloned somebody's account and then the next thing you know, on there, it's like, have you seen this video? I think you may know this person who just died, or something crazy. And so you want to stay away from all of that because you think it's somebody you know, or have you heard about the latest grant about something? And you're like, I mean, really, do these people really, they if they could actually to harvest some of that energy and take it and use it for something good, good Lord, they would be rich just doing that, But it's unfortunate they have to, prey on people. Now, online, to protect your information online, everybody's gotten very comfortable at this point with shopping online, but should they be so comfortable, in terms of people being able to access your information? Like, I know there's software too that will show you if your password has ever been compromised. That's a scary thought, right?
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword, because hackers too can use that to get you to give them your passwords. They can send an email saying, "Hey, your password's been compromised. You need to click here and do this." And it's so easy for them to get online and go to Netflix, let's say. They can go onto Netflix. They can copy the logos and other stuff to make and create an email to make it look like it's actually Netflix sending you the information. And then they'll say, "Oh, your password's been compromised. You need to change your password. Click here." So you click there and you change your password. Now they have your Netflix password. And what are we all guilty of? Because we have to remember so much, we have a tendency to use the same password for everything we do. So,
I used to work with someone. He would be like, "Oh God, if they ever get my password, they've cracked the code." Because I use the same one on everything. I was like, "Oh, you don't?" And he's like, "Yes, I do. My problem is I have so many, I can't remember them all. I have to take guesses at my own password," which is crazy, but that's what you have to do. One step ahead, that works for me right now, but we'll see. So we have a few more minutes, as we're wrapping up here. Are there any other things? I know, I wanted to address really quickly because this is really, really important. And I know this is going to delve into the area of, sort of, well, it's really still safety, but I wanted to talk about your Christmas tree and things that you have at home. There are a lot of tragedies a lot of times during the holidays because of Christmas lights and things that may catch fire. Any bit of advice for people in terms of if you're leaving the house, what kind of things should you be doing if you have a Christmas tree, or your stove, and you've cooked something for the holidays, what can you tell people there?
Well, one, I mean, this is a su supposed to be a joyous time, celebrating with family, friends, and it can be that. We have to make sure that we're also responsible things, not leaving things on. And in this time, the commercialism of it in itself lends itself up to us, the hustle and bustle, as we say. And we're in and out, and oop, I forgot this. I just run here and get this, and we leave things unattended. So just being more mindful of what we're doing, and do it safely. Sometimes, and I'll say Wes and I are probably more guilty than that than we, as men, we don't like to read instructions, so we just start plugging in things and put things because we can. But just slowing down and doing things the right way. Instructions come with some for a reason. And so just being mindful of not, if you're using, fire real logs and you're burning real wood, you can't just leave that unattended. And so being mindful of things like if you have a live tree, there are just certain things that you have to do. But
it reminded me when you were talking about the logs. I did a story years ago in Nashville. There was a Laotian family that had, you know, several people living in an apartment and the power went out. Remember when we had that really bad ice storm? And I don't know if you remember this story, but they brought the grill inside and tried to cook inside, and the carbon monoxide killed everyone in the family, which is such a sad story. So those are things people don't think about. They may not know. And again, are very important to safety around the holiday. So I think we covered a number of wonderful topics here that hopefully will do someone some good this holiday season. I thank you two both so much for coming on. Great words of wisdom and advice for people. And I hope a lot of people hear this. We'll have to do a replay for people online. So thank you so much. That's about all the time we have for now. Please join us again for the Celeste Stein Show on bbsradio.com in 2 weeks from now on Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for listening in and have a very safe and happy holiday. Thanks for watching.